It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this, the 27th day of June 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round and whatever time it is where you're when you're listening to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, hi, thank you. Please like it, subscribe to it, leave a comment for the algorithms to see. Tell your friends and neighbors, post it to social media, and help to grow this amazing little community we have going on here. Because, well, this is unlike anything going on anywhere else. Nobody else is doing a show that's this open to conversation, long form, people being able to say what they want to say and not having to censor themselves and not being interrupted by hard breaks and the like. No, this is a truly, truly special place, and it would be nice to have more people take advantage of it and be part of it. If you do, however, if you're listening live and you want to pop into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo. Hey, y'all. Good to see you this evening. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. So it is Titanic Tuesday. And we've got things to get into. And I want to apologize on the front end if I sound like crap this evening. You know, crappier than usual. I woke up this morning. I'm allergic to something, apparently. Oh, this is gross. I woke up this morning and felt like somebody had turned me upside down during the night and poured my head full of Quikrete. And over the day, the Quikrete has been slowly melting, and so, you know, there will be frequent pushings of the mute button on my microphone to deal with, I always hated this phrase during TV commercials, post-nasal drip. Drip, drip, drip. The worst part of it, though, is my left eye was swollen shut when I woke up this morning and burning like hell. And so Annette has been treating me with allergy eye drops, 2 drops like every 6 hours or something. I'm better, but I'm not entirely okay. And, I mean, my eye was burning, watering, couldn't hardly open it. It was gross. So what I was supposed to be doing tonight and tomorrow, I canceled. Much to my chagrin. Chagrin Falls is a place in Ohio. I canceled, pretty much everything I had on my schedule today. And there's Claire entering the room from across the pond. Hey, Claire. Good evening. Good morning. Whatever time it is in GMT. I hope you had a lovely day today. Being she's out in the future, Claire's going to tell us what the lottery numbers are for. Never mind. That's an old running gag. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is, of course, no different. So we say thank you to our 27th day of the month subscribers. And that means saying thank you to David out in Oregon. And thanks as well to Jessica for jumping in last night. Thanks to Ken yesterday. We actually have zero subscribers on the 27th of the month. So, it's 10 p.m. on the Septrid Isle. Okay. So it's, okay, all right. Okay, 5 hours because of daylight savings time. 6 hours normally, standard time. Thank you, Claire. We have zero subscribers on the 27th day of the month. It would be wonderful if we could get some subscribers for the 27th day of the month. And the fundraising goal, after bringing it down from 2,000 yesterday by a whopping margin, and thank you so much for that, we stand at $1,500 for the fundraising goal. That's how, and that is a five-show deep hole that we are in. And let's see, so this is Tuesday. We have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We got four programs, and those three aren't in the total, but that's basically. So the total to get done with the month is $2,400, and that's kind of terrifying. But we'll do the best that we can and hope that we can close the gap so that we don't enter July in another hole like we did with June because of May, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But thanks to all of you who support the program. Thank you so very much. And again, I'm sorry I sound like garbage. I don't feel as bad as I sound, but I know I sound like, well, garbage. And I will mute as needed. What's that, Emilio? Isn't post-nasal drip something Don Jr. is very familiar with and fond of? Yes, and Kimberly Gargoyle and, well, Nitwit Nero himself. He gave an interview where he was barking and grunting about, what's her name, Alyssa Farah, who worked in his administration. And all the way through, he was doing that. Somebody had been into the Adderall again. Certainly seems that way. But it is, no, Scary Jerry, it is not the Rona. Not by any stretch of the imagination. It's, for one, it's only in one eye. For two, no fever, no other manifestations. So, and plus, I'm vaxxed out the wazoo. And probably, I'm trying to hold off, like Paul from Parts Unknown suggested, I'm trying to hold off on my next one until, like, September. And then I'll just get that and the flu shot at the same time. It's like a little ritual for the end of summer. And here I am talking about the end of summer when it's barely underway. Great. And the other thing I didn't do today was go and find out what that weird-ass squeak is in my front end of my car. I'm thinking it may just need, and everything just, for some reason or another, Everything just sounds ooky. My car probably needs a grease job. Anyway. I loved the Scary Jerry sent us some AI art yesterday that was wild, to say the least. Thank you for that, Scary Jerry. Randy Radar telling me to get after the local honey, organic lemon juice, and hot water. I trust I drink that and not snort it. We've actually got some local honey because I found a purveyor thereof over at the Oak Hill Farmers Market. And so, yeah, a couple of teaspoons of that dissolved in some boiling water with some lemon probably would be rather nice. Might dissolve it in tea and make it even nicer. Once again, sorry about the dead air. It's going to be like that tonight, this afternoon, tonight. I think that goes back to when this program ran from 6 to 9. Anatole says, it's the chia virus. Chia. At the top of the stack for this program, hey, look, it's pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Soup! Great to see you, Steve. Hope today wasn't too... Oh, hope it wasn't god awful at all. Meanwhile, another member of the fraternity is Steve in New York, pointing out Presidential Records Act. It occurs to me, because I can't figure otherwise, that the orange stain thinks the Presidential Records Act means the records belong to the president. Well, I mean, all your missiles are belong to us, you know? That meme from the early aughts. Everything belongs to him. Mine. He's that Daffy Duck clip. Mine. It's all mine. It's all mine. I'm comfortably secure. I'm socially secure. I'm comfortably well off. You know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, is not the only person to whom we can, with whom we can use that classic phrase from Daffy Duck. Big sympathies and, you know, stay safe, y'alls, go out to anybody listening to this program in the massive heat wave camped out over the most southernmost portions of this country, from Texas into the southeast. I was just talking to my sister, Miss Terry, a little bit ago, and she said that it's 96 degrees down there on the Alabama Gulf Coast. Whew! You'd have to set up a block and tackle and a crane and lower me by one heel, Achilles-like, into an entire vat of SPF Avogadro's number just for me to be able to walk outside in that shit. Oh, that sounds delightful. Remedy-wise, Brother Bishop Steve says, Karen said to scoot over to your nearest Mexican restaurant and get an order of soup de pollo. Zupa de pollo would be wonderful. I actually thought about calling my pal Gang and see if she would whip me up about a quart of her Thai hot tom yum soup, because that stuff will flame anything out of your body. Ferg brought me one of his world-famous Brussels sprouts a minute ago. And that was real. That was very good. Oh, I don't doubt it. Steve said it works. When you're feeling puny, there's nothing better. And see, that's how we know that Steve is a true Appalachian, that phrase, when you're feeling puny. Which is different from feeling ribby or poorly. Puny is its own thing. Oh, well, I hate to break it to you, Miss Kincaid, but you're puny. Yeah. And they're on their way again. Stephen, New York says, my partner told me the Quebec fires are flooding Ottawa with really bad air again. He and I had that conversation right before it got really bad here last time. You know, I wonder if some sort of residual particulates might be doing this to me. I don't know how I sound, but I feel like I sound like crap. And I've got my cans on because radio, and it feels like my ears are stopped up, my sinuses are stopped up. Blech. That's soup. You had to mention soup, Steve. Soup. And now because I'm puny, I'm pining for it. Pining is something that will happen when you get puny. Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve, in New York. I don't hear any difference in the way you sound. Maybe that's a good thing. Now you just sound like shit like you always do, Robin. But no, it is Titanic Tuesday, and things to talk about. Well, two big deals out of the Supreme Court today. One, I'm not sure how I feel about. I mean, I do know how I feel about it. I'm not sure if I'm feeling the right way about it. I'm not sure if I'm feeling the right way about it the right way. That's a long way around the barn. And I'm talking in that instance about, and you know, that is the nice thing about the last week of June. You will have stuff to talk about, because this is the week that the Supreme Court, our most puissant dread sovereigns, the Supreme Catholic Majesties, issue all their really ugly decisions, and the ones that have been most anticipated. It's no different than a season-ending cliffhanger on a TV show. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. No, we can't release that decision yet. That's for the end of the term. That keeps all eyes on us, because they are vain. Judges are almost without fail always vain. And so today we got a couple of decisions, one of which was a free speech decision coming out of Colorado. Okay, a little advice on the local honey. Brandon tells me, I don't think you should use the honey in hot tea, but enjoy it straight out of the jar. The hot water may break down the antigenic contents of the honey. Honey, see what you did there, sweetie. Peace, lady. Peace, Brandon. Thank you. There's something to be said for that. I'll just get a spoonful. Helps the medicine go down. No, that was sugar. Mary Poppins. Yeah, right. Thank you, Scary Jerry. You sound fine, Miss Kincaid. We all have much to discuss. No approved absences at this time. Proceed to the cafeteria for orange slices. Yes. Matt in San Francisco says, you sound a little stuffy to me, Robin, but maybe your descriptions implanted the stuffy into my brain. Take care of yourself. I will endeavor so to do. Thank you, Matt. So anyway, out in Colorado, a woman, and this is a decision affecting a woman, so you've probably got a pretty good guess how this is going to work out relative to our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties. So a guy, there's going to be some pretty highfalutin legal talk coming here. You know, when you say, so this guy, mister, I met a man. A guy named Counterman. Billy Raymond Counterman. Billy Raymond, come here right now. Billy Ray. Billy Ray Counterman. Apparently was not screwed down too tightly, for lack of a better term, and he became obsessed with a singer-songwriter named Coles Whalen. Coles Whalen is the woman in this set piece. And he began messaging her with creepy messages. Yeah, because he's a nice guy.
Well, why don't you give me a chance? I'm a nice guy.
The I'm a nice guy is the dead giveaway every time. Over in the incel forums, that's all they talk about is how nice they are, and they wish the god-awful, rotten-ass, evil women would give them a chance. Well, I don't know that Billy Ray Counterman was a full-on incel, but what he was doing was cyber-stalking Coles Whalen. And she would block him on Facebook. And then he would set up another sock puppet account and continue to stalk her. Block that one, he sets up another. If someone is determined to torment you, well, far be it from Mark Zuckerdweeb to take actual measures to try to prevent that. Oh, well. So, eventually, after sending her messages that made it abundantly clear that he was physically stalking her, too, things like,
was that you in the white Jeep? Seems like I'm being talked about more than I'm being talked to. This isn't healthy.
And then when she continued to try to ignore him, which in many cases is all a woman can do with one of these creepy guys, he said,
you're not being good for human relations. Die. Don't need you.
And then asked her for, quote, a hot date at Walmart. And then got angry when she just wouldn't respond to him. Bear in mind, again, she had blocked him and blocked him and blocked him and blocked him and blocked him. He cost her money. She had to hire extra security. She even went so far as canceling some of her concerts, her appearances. And then, when nothing else worked, because this is so often the case with women who are being stalked by the nice guy, she eventually sued in Colorado, and Billy Ray Counterman was found guilty of stalking and sentenced to 4.5 years in state prison in Colorado. And that's how this became a Supreme Court case, was because his pettifogger said,
well, you violated his rights to free speech under the First Amendment.
So just to recap, the First Amendment rights of more than half of the population of this country not to be compelled to follow Roman Catholic religious doctrine, they happen to be women and others capable of becoming pregnant. Ah, yeah, y'all's rights don't count. y'all's First Amendment right. Nope. You're going to have to follow Roman Catholic religious doctrine inside the law of the United States of America. And that has been our theocratic reality for over a year now, this month. On the other hand, however, if a dangerously mad man decides to cyber stalk and physically stalk a woman, well, our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties will be there to give him surcease from his sorrow. See, the courts below had said that he could be criminally charged and punished because his speech rose to the level of something within Supreme Court doctrine that is called true threats. Unambiguously threatening to cause real harm in real time. And that the person who utters such true threats need not be proven to have actually done the thing he was threatening to do. And I use he in this instance most specifically. And so his pettifogger, a guy named John Elwood, argued to the court that Billy Ray Countermand's free speech rights had been violated, and that in fact his sending messages to Coles Whalen like, you're not being good for human relations, die, don't need you, that's protected speech under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Yeah, because she's a woman and he's a man. And that the court should have considered his intent, because Elwood argued that his client was nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake, crazier than a sprayed roach. Arguing to the court, Elwood said, the bedrock principle underlying the First Amendment is that the government may not prohibit expression of an idea. You know, the human race doesn't need you. Die. Because society finds the idea itself offensive or disagreeable. Defending the law, the state of Colorado said that the stalking law is intended to protect victims from intrusive, threatening, and escalating courses of conduct characteristic of stalking. And in my opinion, the state of Colorado is right. Well, that's not quite how it worked out for the most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesty opinion. It was a 7-2 opinion. Telling, of course, was the dissenting opinion, as authored by, come on, who else? The crookedest man on the court, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Fappy Thomas. We'll get to that. But this was a little weird. They sent the case, they vacated the conviction of Billy Ray Counterman, and they sent the case back to the court in Colorado to be redetermined upon a standard of, a standard where it would suffice for prosecutors to show that the speaker was aware that his speech could be viewed as a threat and that the speech was reckless, even if not intentionally threatening. And this immediately set off great big flashing lights and sirens for people who advocate for women who are abused. And then the free speech absolutist, remember, that's what Leon Scum calls himself, said they were afraid that this would that it would chill speech, this misunderstood to be a threat. Did Coles Whalen misunderstand anything? obvious statements that Billy Ray Counterman was stalking her.
Is that you in the white Jeep? Huh? Saw a white Jeep. Is that you in the white Jeep? Yeah. Why don't you talk to me? I'm a nice guy. I put the nice money in. Why didn't the sex come out?
And in point of fact, what was a promising career in large part collapsed. The Attorney General of Colorado, Philip J. Weiser, said that Coles Whalen had made making music and entertaining people her life. But that thanks to Billy Ray Counterman and years of creepy, stalky messages, it wrecked both her career and her mental health. But one gets the idea that the our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties don't give much of a flying fig for a woman's mental health or her career.
She needs to be home. Barefoot and pregnant, like God wants her to be, and the Pope.
That's not much of a stretch, really. And so, as I mentioned, there was a dissent, and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, joined by Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, decided to take this moment to attack New York Times versus Sullivan. That case is just 1 year short of the same age as I am. So it has been a bedrock principle of First Amendment law for that long. Because the Supreme Court, the majority, cited New York Times versus Sullivan in the case. And, you know, for the crookedest man on the court, so crooked that when he dies, they'll have to screw him into the dirt because he's so crooked. Well, some woman being afraid of being killed by a stalker, you know, God's plan. It's God's plan. He spent all of 2 pages on it. And, of course, he's a conservative thinker. To give you an idea of how long it takes for something like this to percolate through the courts, all this shit started in 2014, went through 2015 and 2016, before Coles Whalen ever even did anything. She tried to ignore him until it scared her half, until he managed to scare her half to death. The actual holding of the case said that the state must prove in true threats cases that the defendant had some subjective understanding of his statement's threatening nature, but the First Amendment requires no more demanding a showing than recklessness. This is the syllabus. Stand by, please. Sorry about the dead air. That recklessness standard. Oh, by the way, yeah, Gene, sorry about the audio. I'm doing everything I can to... it's a glitch that showed up about a month ago. And I can't raise my gain on my mic very much, because if I go up to here where everybody can hear it, hear how crunchy it gets, that's because I'm overdriving the microphone. Something went sideways, and I need to figure out what it is, but thus far I have been unsuccessful. The court said, for true threats, recklessness strikes the right balance, offering enough breathing space for protected speech without sacrificing too many, according to, that's kind of subjective, isn't it? Too many of the benefits of enforcing laws against true threats. The state prosecuted Billy Ray Counterman in accordance with an objective standard and did not have to show any awareness on Counterman's part of his statement's threatening character. This, said our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties, is a violation of the First Amendment. So what they've done here is they've sent a great big wet, sloppy kiss to every dude out there stalking women in the United States of America, saying, listen, bub, all you have to say is, I had no objective understanding that the creepy-ass messages I was sending to her would scare a reasonable and prudent woman in the same or similar situation. Stalk away, boys! But even that wasn't enough for Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Fappy Thomas. Oh, hell no. No, no. It only took him two pages, but by God, he wants to see. He wants to see New York Times versus Sullivan overturned, because he's tired of people referring to him as Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Fappy Thomas. Damn it. He's tired of people talking about how he lied and lied and lied and lied under oath. He's tired of ProPublica and all of these damn stories about how he took a $500,000 vacation, and all these stories about how his disgusting wife is an insurrectionist, treasonous, seditious monster. Now, he was not the only one dissenting. The handmaid, Amy Covid Barrett, because, you know, you can always count on the handmaid to get it wrong, because, well, the handmaid is out there doing the business of whatever it is her superior men think she should do. That's why in the cult she was in, she was called a handmaid. God, that creeps me out every time I read it or think it. And remember, she was involved in a little bit of shady real estate dealings, too.
Yeah, well, Ketanji Brown Jackson borrowed a dress.
Writing from New York, Steve says, does this now mean no? Doesn't mean no? Well, it certainly means leave me the fuck alone doesn't mean leave me the fuck alone. Because all he has to...
Well, why do you want me to leave you alone? I'm a nice guy. Why won't you give me a chance?
And continue to stalk her. So Fappy wrote, I join Justice Barrett's dissent in full. I write separately to address the majority's surprising and misplaced reliance on New York Times Company versus Sullivan. In that case, this court held that the First Amendment bars public figures like me, I inserted the like me, or like my orange god emperor, from recovering damages for defamation unless they can show that the statement at issue was made with actual malice, that is, with knowledge that it was false or with reckless disregard of whether it was false or not. Like the majority's decision today, New York Times and the court's decisions extending it were policy-driven decisions masquerading as constitutional law because, well, I guess some pasty-faced, doughy old dude in a powdered wig and lace breeches back in the 18th century, who incidentally didn't think that people like Fappy were really and truly fully human, that in fact people like Fappy were three-fifths of a human being, but he always manages to forget that part. Policy-driven decisions masquerading as constitutional law. No, you know what? Going all the way back to Marbury, when the Supreme Court says something is constitutional law, guess what, Fappy? Did they not teach you this there at Yale when you were hating yourself? Because you got in on affirmative action? But under Marbury, when the Supreme Court says something is constitutional law, it, by God, is constitutional law. Whether you like it or not, Fappy. Instead of simply applying the First Amendment as it was understood at the time of the founding, cause originalism! Eee! Fappy, if we applied the First Amendment as it was understood at the time of the founding, you wouldn't be writing this, Fappy. Because you wouldn't be a citizen. You wouldn't be a human being. Funny how that just slips past him every blessed time.
The court fashioned its own federal rules by balancing the competing values at stake in defamation suits. The constitutional libel rules adopted by this court in New York Times and its progeny broke sharply from the common law of libel, and there are sound reasons to question whether the First and Fourteenth Amendments displace this body of common law.
He's actually citing his own stupid... He's quoting himself. It's kind of pathetic, really.
It is thus unfortunate that the majority chooses not only to prominently and uncritically invoke New York Times, but also to extend its flawed, policy-driven First Amendment analysis to true threats, a separate area of this court's jurisprudence.
The handmaid said, "It should be easy to choose between these positions. True threats do not enjoy First Amendment protection, and nearly every other category of unprotected speech may be restricted using an objective standard. Nonetheless, the court adopts a subjective standard, though not quite the one advanced by Counterman. The court holds that speakers must recklessly disregard the threatening nature of their speech to lose constitutional protection, because this unjustifiably grants true threats preferential treatment. I respectfully dissent." So even though this was a 7-2 decision, it was a 7-2 decision where everybody was wrong. Everybody did the thing that was harmful to the woman. And if we look at this in light of, say, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, it's easy to understand why. Because all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than other animals. Right, Snowball? Was it Snowball who said that in Animal Farm? The Animal Farm Research Department will get right on that. And the and you know the animals who are less who have fewer rights, we know who those animals are. The ones who aren't quite as equal as other animals. So that was but one. Well, let's see. Steve in New York says, I'm trying to imagine this soaring oratory regarding the proposal of the First Amendment and how it will protect stalking. Don't try to imagine too hard. You might imagine it right into the mind of the goddess of irony, Steve. Yeah, I know. What the frill is that Supreme Court talking about, asks Ralphs. Well, they're talking about how to further screw over women. Because they're terribly, terribly good at it. They have, and they have, after all, been, most of them, the majority, of the right-wing majority, have centered their entire careers on hurting women. Kind of like Billy Ray Counterman did with Coles Whalen. Billable Rick says, in solidarity with Coles Whalen, I suggest that as many members of the Horn community as possible download three of Ms. Whalen's songs as a means of countering the crazy Colorado Counterman. Well done, Billable. And that's a good idea. Have you looked around to find where her music is? I have not, I confess. There's still other cases out there. The 123 Creative, I think, the graphic designer case, Ralphs asked, has that been decided? I have not seen today where it came down, but it's not far in the future. That, you know, that may be the real fuck you that they issue as they're galloping off out of town. I'm sure that's going to be a real Lulu. Because there's even a case that just percolated up through the 5th United States Circuit Court of Appeals, the nightmare circuit that encompasses Louisiana, Texas, I think Mississippi. It's just peopled with right-wing freaks. And in fact, it might be worth, well, no, we'll save that when the actual decision comes out. Because the other case that came out today that is certainly worthy of our attention is the Moore case. That landed today. And on its face, Moore looks like mind you, not is. A win for the not crazy portion and not anti-democratic portion of America. The crazy legal theory is and has been the independent state legislature theory. Moore versus Harper is the case. And again, this one was a 6-3 decision. Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, Ketanji Brown Jackson, joined by Old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, Brett Kavanaugh, and The Handmaid, to say that no, the plaintiffs who contended that that state courts have no right to issue any opinion about how a legislature goes about redistricting a state or how they choose their electors or anything else touching upon how a maggot legislature runs its elections, is it that no, they said no. They said that state courts shouldn't be allowed to strike down rules that a maggot legislature has put forward to make sure that the wrong people don't vote with any strength at all. I expected this to kind of land this way after the Alabama decision of a week ago. And that gave us a pretty good idea of where this was going to go. And so, with Old Balls and Strikes giving himself the opinion to write, because within that majority he was the senior most member, he said, no, the plaintiffs are wrong when they say that state courts don't have a say in determining how to interpret the elections clause in the United States Constitution, and that the elections clause, quote, does not insulate state legislatures from the ordinary exercise of state judicial review. And this all happened when a non-maggot majority Supreme Court in North Carolina struck down redistricting maps proposed by the maggot legislature, in which the maggot legislature admitted, yeah, we did this to make sure that the colored folk can't have any real electoral power in the state of North Carolina. And the plaintiffs went, what? It's always been a lottery. Lottery in June, corn heavy soon. Always been a lottery. There's always been racism in redistricting in North Carolina. But there was a poison pill in the opinion. Roberts goes on for about 30 pages, and at the very end he says that state courts retain the authority to apply state constitutional restraints, but federal courts must not abandon their own duty to exercise judicial review. And then, of course, there was Brett Kavanaugh, who got in on the majority so that he could file a concurring opinion in which he said that, he said, just because we're not ruling on the issue of whether to adopt any specific standard for our review of a state court's interpretation of state law in a case implicating the elections clause, but we'll do that later. The Supreme Court should and presumably will do so in the future. In other words, this case wasn't quite good enough for us to write an opinion that completely enshrines and endorses the ugly racist urge of, you know, not just the maggots, because this didn't start with them, the Republican Party generally. And meanwhile, the speaker, Moore versus Harper, he was the House Speaker, is the House Speaker in North Carolina, and he said, when the Charlotte News and Observer contacted him, he said, "Well, I'm not surprised in some ways, because the U.S. Supreme Court, if they can find a way to not wade into much more weighty questions that will generally defer to, they won't overturn something. It's a complex legal question. It's an analysis that isn't simple. I'm just glad we all had our day in court and the U.S. Supreme Court has spoken, and so that will determine the precedent going forward for the other 49 states." Here's a hint for the Speaker Moore. All of the other 49 states are not desperately trying to disenfranchise their voters. In fact, some states, California, Oregon, Washington, are actively trying to enfranchise their voters, understanding that democracy depends on the active participation of the governed in their own governance. See, that's the exact opposite of what maggots and Republicans generally want to do in places like North Carolina, Alabama. They want to make sure that some people, you know, those people, stay the hell out of their nice lily-white political processes, damn it. On the other hand, Josh Stein is a Democrat, and he's running for governor of North Carolina in 2024. He said that SCOTUS reaffirmed the most central principle of our democracy, that the people, not politicians, have political power. The current governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, said it was a good decision that curbs some of the power of Republican state legislatures and affirms the importance of checks and balances. It's okay, they're going to do it again, y'all. Because what they do is they do these things right up close to an election so that they can use the dirty maps even when a court says, no, I'm enjoining you using this dirty map. Well, that's what we got. Well, okay. There's something similar and equally noxious that has happened over the last couple of election cycles over just to the west of the river that belongs to West Virginia but is named the Ohio in the Buckeye State. The North Carolina League of Conservation Voters said what the state did was unlawful, but if you take its opinion at face value, it deprives the U.S. Supreme Court or any jurisdiction it might have had over the case about the congressional map. That was the point. And the stuff that would have flowed from that was the point. Like setting up slates of, I don't know, fake electors. You know, they have been known to do that from time to time. And another observer of the Supreme Court, Allison Gill of Mueller, she wrote, isn't that clever? To talk about how important Moore versus Harper was. And then another expert named Richard Hazen over at Slate said that this isn't as good as you think it is. Allison Gill said, "I don't think most Americans know we came within two votes of losing our democracy today, and they'll continue to use their sacred votes to elect people who would appoint judges that would have otherwise canceled their votes." And Hazen said, "The Supreme Court has now set itself up with the assent of the liberal justices to meddle in future elections, perhaps even deciding the outcome of future presidential elections, as it has done in the past. I'll be damned. Yeah. Bush v. Gore. There that is again. Remember, that was a case that was not supposed to be cited for anything, but oh well, so much for that. Because, as noted, you know, at the end of the opinion, said, old balls and strikes, said, yeah, but we may fuck America over yet, and probably will. And then there was the concurrence by Brett Kavanaugh, who likes beer, and little teenage girls who are all passed out and stuff. He endorsed a theory that had previously been put forward by the junkie former Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist, who really was a junkie. And Richard Hazen said, Justice Kavanaugh, in a concurrence, endorsed the Rehnquist approach and said that in engaging in this second-guessing, federal courts need to compare election law in the state in earlier decisions. The greater the deviation, the more likely to find a violation of the independent state legislature theory. But it remains unresolved whether the court will rein in especially voter-protective rulings of state courts. It's going to be ugly, Hazen said, and it could lead to another Supreme Court intervention in a presidential election sooner rather than later. Moore gave voters a win today, but it sets up a Supreme Court power grab down the line. And, of course, you can imagine what the negotiations were like. Sotomayor, Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson, all over there saying, you know, no, let's just strike this shit. This is cockamamie. This is jurisprudential garbage, they're arguing, and we need to make it abundantly clear that they can't. And Roberts and the handmaid and Brat said, well, okay, you know, we can always go over and join the opinion that Slappy's going to write. You want to do that? They just want to say that the independent state legislature is cool for school. You really want us to go there, y'all? And the three so-called liberal justices go, no. No. Okay. We'll sign on. And we know what you're going to do later, because we know who the hell you are. And then there was a dissent with this one, too, which Fappy Thomas, the most crooked man on the Supreme Court, assigned to himself to write, and was joined by Sammy Badbreath and Ann's boy Neil. And they barked and grunted that the independent state legislature theory is a real thing and needs to remain and needs to be fully embraced so that we can make sure that what's probably going to happen in the next couple of decades, namely the complete implosion of the Republican Party, doesn't happen, and we can continue to have Republican presidents foisted upon a populace that doesn't want them by a significant majority. Worrisome. Watch this space, as the saying goes. Meanwhile, because, you know, we're into the second hour of the program, and we remain a goose egg for this evening as we try to reduce the fundraising deficit of $2,400 to something a little more manageable. $1,500 up to here, $2,400 for the remainder of the month. By the way, like I said, I did not take my little trip. And so there will be a program tomorrow. Definitely. Well, as definitely as I can make it, taking into account Appalachian Power, because there are thunderstorms in the forecast. It's just that time of year when it's hot enough for little convection thunder boomers to boil up out of almost thin blue, clear blue sky, and take down our rickety, rattle-trap, antiquated coal-fried power grid. Implosion, says Lee in New York, is appropriate for the Republican Party. They are an empty shell. Yes. Yesterday on the program, we had a little moment of ha-ha as former Republican strategist Rick Wilson continues to stoke the stroke. Hashtag STS. And he doesn't hold back, Rick Wilson doesn't. For everything you might ever want to say to Nitwit Nero and know that he would never find out about it, you know, you kind of rely on Rick Wilson because you know that he is already living rent-free in Nitwit Nero's head and that Nitwit Nero can't quit him. This is good.
Hey, Donald, it's Rick. I'm just doing a wellness check on you. I know you've had a really bad weekend. You had a bad day yesterday, and you're having a bad day today. I just want to make sure you're okay, buddy, honestly. I mean, over the weekend, you saw your friend Vladimir Putin basically sign his own death warrant by showing weakness, and no dictator can show weakness, as you know. He'll be dead before the 2024 election cycle, most likely, and you won't have your sugar daddy. Oops. The second thing, last night when CNN released that daddy audio of you bragging about your criming, of you admitting on tape again that you were splashing classified documents around and you didn't have the authority to unclassify them as a former president. Chef's kiss, buddy. And finally, today, the Supreme Court ruled against you. The independent state legislatures thing was a longtime conservative product that they were trying to put together to help the GOP, and your justices ruled against it. Congrats, Don. You're having a bad week, and by the way, it's about to get worse.
That is stoke the stroke, isn't it? Really, really. I particularly love the part where he said, your sugar daddy's going to be dead in a couple of years. Sucks to be you. You think that's the case? Yeah, do you think Pootie Poot? I mean, it's too much to think that he would be found hanging upside down by his heels outside of a gas station in Moscow. But a girl can dream. Dare to dream, y'all. Dare to dream. Wonder what he was referring to, Rick Wilson, when he said, you've had a bad week, and it's about to get worse. Well, one clue is that former MAGAT Secretary of Defense Mark Esper is outright calling Nitwit Nero, welcome to the party, Mark, a liar, especially in regard to the tape of him, of Nitwit Nero admitting that he was showing off classified, documents that were even above top secret, especially relating to that war plan against Iran.
Mark Esper, who served as Secretary of Defense in the Trump administration. Secretary Esper, thank you for joining us tonight. You know, we wanted you to come on to talk about Russia and the monumental events that are happening there, and we will get to that in a moment. But given this breaking news and this stunning audio, I wonder what it's like for you to hear the audio of your former boss, the former commander-in-chief, talking about what we are told is sensitive military documents in this manner.
Yeah, it really is stunning, Caitlin, to hear it, right? It sounds familiar in some ways. Now, I talk a lot about these instances in my memoir where I categorize how every few months or so we would come back to this issue about Iran and what to do. And I can say, you know, Mark Milley worked for me for nearly 18 months, which was most of Trump's tenure that we were together. And he never advocated for attacking Iran. If anything, Chairman Milley and I were the reluctant warriors in the cabinet, urging caution, urging restraint. So that kind of is what strikes me first. But secondly, it's the nature of sharing those information, those documents, whatever they are, with people is clearly, you know, unauthorized, illegal, and dangerous. And that's what concerns me as well, that such things like that were kept loosely around Mar-a-Lago.
And he told Fox, as we played that clip earlier, he said there was no document, but referenced, you know, newspaper stories, magazine clippings. But it sure doesn't sound like he's talking about just a magazine article there. Is it clear to you, does it sound like to you that he is holding a classified document?
Well, it sounds like he's holding something and showing something. I don't know what it was. I think earlier it was reported some time ago that it was a 4-page document, which would not have been what DOD typically prepared. What we usually prepared was a 1-pager that included targeting options and escalatory measures, things like that. And again, I outline it in my memoir fairly clearly, but that would be unusual. But something like that would be a document that would generate that wow effect, if you were, by people who are unfamiliar with these types of things or classified material.
When you were defense secretary and you talk about, you know, the experience that you two had, and obviously you worked with him a lot, did you ever have concerns about how he handled classified information? Were you ever worried to leave anything with him or have to tell him, you know, don't share this with other people that aren't authorized to receive this information?
Only bring a limited number. Hello?
Secretary Esper, yeah, go ahead. We can hear. I think we had a little bit of issue with the audio, but I think we can hear you now. We were asking, did you ever have any concerns about his handling of classified information when you were serving as defense secretary?
Sure. We were generally concerned about the handling of classified material within the White House writ large. And so we would only bring a few copies of whatever options we would present to the president, because we were concerned about those things. You know, having classified documents like that, again, getting around, the two top concerns to us were always, you know, risk to mission, right? What would it affect if the material was compromised? And then what we would say is risk to force. What would it mean to the soldiers, sailors, airmen, or Marines that might have to be called upon to do that mission? So those were two concerns that were forefront in our minds. And so we always tried to control that information very closely.
When you say you were always concerned writ large about and only took taking a few documents, what do you mean?
Well, you would sit in a National Security Council meeting, if you will, and you'd only expect a few people, and it always seemed like twice that many showed up, and everybody wanted a piece of paper. And frankly, not everybody had a need to know. The only key people that needed to know or needed to see this were typically the president, of course, the vice president, the chief of staff, the national security advisor, the secretary of state. Everybody else didn't need to have access to that information, but too often you'd have a lot of people in those meetings. And again, documents, information being passed around.
I know you've talked about your concerns about him holding office again, and you said you wouldn't work for him again. Secretary Esper, when you see the polls and that he is by far and large the Republican frontrunner and could easily have the nation's secrets in his possession once again, how much does that worry you?
Well, look, I'm very concerned, and I've said that I don't believe he is fit for office. And what I've argued to my fellow Republicans, and I say this as a Reagan Republican, is that, look, President Trump had a number of policy accomplishments. You can't take that away from his administration. But my argument is we have a good field of candidates right now, most of whom can advance the same core GOP principles, the same policy objectives, and do so in a way that expands the Republican Party and wins elections, which is something that Donald Trump has been unable to do. So I'm encouraged by the field that is out there, and I hope that that soon they will ascend in the polls and we'll see Donald Trump fade away.
It remains to be seen. I mean, who's there? Nature abhors a vacuum, right? Who is there to fill the vacuum. Monkey up, DeSantis is dropping like a paralyzed falcon. Who? Nimrata Haley? Tim Scott? Vivek Ramaswamy? I mean, stranger things have happened. Bill Clinton was not the front runner in 1992. And New Hampshire is when he became known as the comeback kid. But the polling data indicates that Nitwit Nero is far from fading away. His maggot base is still enamored with him. He's still stealing the money that they send him. And they're still okay with that. And we all know that, well, Liz Cheney has been problematic for me because she's still the daughter of Richard B., big-time Dick Cheney before he dicks you, daddy's little deferment. And the poisonous apple falleth not far from the poisonous tree. And we lionized Liz Cheney, for simply doing what the Constitution and her oath thereto required of her. She did what she had to do. She did what she had no choice to do, and we propelled her to to some sort of moral and ethical Everest because of the odious behavior of her fellow Republicans. Nonetheless, stopped clocks are right twice a day. And Liz Cheney may actually, in an interview, have, well, pinpointed the most fundamental problem that this once great nation has. The most fundamental problem that plagues us in the here and now.
I want you to take a listen to something she said.
What we've done in our politics is create a situation where we're electing idiots. And and so I don't look at it through the lens of, like, you know, is this what I should do or what I shouldn't do? I look at it through the lens of how do we elect serious people? And I think electing serious people can't be partisan.
Yes.
What? The only way we elect serious people in the government of the United States of America is, and I don't want to put too fine a point on this, to stop electing Republicans. Is it that hard to understand? Because once the maggot peril passes, and it will pass, the fondest fetishized dream of the GOP is to get back to being awful and having candidates and politicians who understand that they must stop saying the quiet part out loud. And I hate to break it to I don't hate to break it to Liz Cheney. The only way to do that is to stop electing Republicans. Now, I'm projecting a bit here, but I like to think that I know who she's talking about when Liz Cheney says we have to stop electing idiots. She's talking about marginal trailer queen. She's talking about the clanny granny, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. She's talking about Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert. She's talking about Andy Biggs. One would like to hope she's also talking about man of silly putty, the weaker speaker, Kevers McCarthy. Not sure about that. But the entirety, I think we can all agree, the entirety of the idiot caucus in the Congress all have R's after their name. Is there any doubt? Okay. Henry Cuellar, Texas. We'll give him one. The maggots love to bark and grunt and bleat and groan and hoot about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being stupid. She is anything but, and more than suited to the task of representing her constituents there in the two of the five boroughs of New York. Adam Schiff is not an idiot, nor is Ted Lieu, nor is Auntie Maxine. We don't have any idiots in our caucus. It might have been better put, or perhaps clearer, given an opportunity. Maybe she would choose different words. I think what she meant, at least from her position as a Republican, and remember, she voted with Donald Trump north of 95% of the time. What she meant was she would like for Republicans to stop electing maggots and go back to electing people like her. I say things like this because, you know, I know her track record. And I remember how vociferously she defended the ongoing poisoning of my particular region of this country, Appalachia. There aren't enough mountains to blow up as far as Liz Cheney is concerned. She would be perfectly happy if coal companies poisoned every last individual in this in central Appalachia, in Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia. Who needs us anyway? But the goddess of irony, her being from Wyoming and all, the goddess of irony never sleeps. And so there's a climate change story that comes to us from her very state. Now, in this story, there were people in this story who were hurt, and I certainly do not celebrate that. Don't laugh about it, nothing. But, there's always a but, it's hard to see a story like this and not say, well, you know, chickens roosting. Because, at least eight people were hurt when a tornado touched down smack dab on top of a strip mine in Wyoming Stan. It was shift change Friday at the North Antelope Rochelle mine in Campbell County, Wyoming, in northeast Wyoming, when the twister hit. County government spokesperson Leslie Perkins said, it has been confirmed that the event happened during shift change. All of the six people who remained hospitalized were in stable condition. Now, one of those people injured said, no, I'm a coal miner. I ain't going to get no treatment. Probably didn't get the stupid, the 5G Fauci vaccine either. The North Antelope Rochelle mine is, of course, owned by Peabody Energy. Peabody Energy was, I believe, the first coal company to use the phrase clean coal. They used it in 1920 in an ad in a Chicago newspaper. But Peabody said, yes, their filthy, toxic, vile, poisonous strip mine did take damage when the tornado landed on it. The company cut off power and gas to the mine, suspended operations. And it just so happens, because the goddess of irony doesn't miss a lick, it just so happens that, lo and behold, the North Antelope Rochelle mine is the single largest coal mine in the United States by production. And, of course, the largest single contributor to global climate change is, come on, we all know the answer, coal. And so when I read that story over the weekend, damn, now Mother Nature's taking aim at the source. And we know, for instance, here in central Appalachia that, and we've talked about this in the past, our mountains protect us here. Oh, we'll get some hellacious thunderstorms. We'll get some hellacious winds. I will still never forget the derecho of 2012. About this time, 11 years ago, out of power for 3 weeks, off air for 3 weeks. Grannies sweltering, nonagenarian great-grandmothers sweltering in 100-degree temperatures while he wasn't yet West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice at the time. He was just Colbert and Jim Justice, and he was having the West Virginia National Guard pick up fallen limbs on his golf course at the Greenbrier. Because, damn it, he had a PGA Tour event going on, and so there was plenty of ice for the golfers. But, well, 2 miles away, a nonagenarian great-grandma was playing footsie with the Grim Reaper in the heat. And those things happen more now because, well, the mountains, so many of the mountains that used to protect us, that provided our joy, that gave us shelter and sustenance, well, 500 of them across Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee are, and I don't want to, again, put too fine a point on it, fucking gone. They're great big flat spaces that just beg for tornadoes that wouldn't show their funnels around here. Now say, you know what? Yeah, let's land there. And so basically, Friday, at the North Antelope Rochelle mine operated by Peabody Energy in northeast Wyoming, climate change came home to roost and took dead aim at center bull. And someday, by comparison, I hope the people of states like Texas and Alabama can have decent governance so that when what happens down there is happening down there happens, you know, 125 degree temperatures in places like Laredo, probably should workshop a parody song based on the old "When I Stepped Out in the Streets of Laredo." When I stepped out in the streets of Laredo, when I stepped out in Laredo one day, I spied a young cowboy all dehydrating, suffering heat stroke and cold as the clay. No singing, Robin. Fundraising holes at $1,500 damn dollars. But it would be nice if they could have governance that would say, listen, the reason this is the way it is because, well, hydrocarbons have made states like ours, Texas, very, very rich, and individuals even richer. But y'all, we got to change if y'all don't like 125 degrees in June. But that's sometime off in the future. It's damn sure not right now with people like, Greg Asbot, Ken Paxton. Well, he's suspended right now. And, what's his name, the lieutenant governor that's got the same name as an ESPN anchor. Now, with them running the show, it's, well, it's probably causing us heat. Well, hail is a little closer to the surface of the earth right now, and Jesus is pissed at the drag queens and the trannies, and they're trying to, it's kind of like when you got a fever and your body gets hot trying to kill the infection. Well, see, that's what Jesus is trying to do with all this here heat that we're experiencing. He's trying to burn up the trannies and the drag queens and the queers. Thank God we got our guns. That's not nearly as satirical as we would like for it to be, is it? No, not by a long shot. But back to Liz Cheney for a second. Liz Cheney said, we have got to stop electing idiots. I wonder if Florida Senator Rick Skeletor Scott fits into Liz's rubric. Because he's seeming pretty maggoty, idiotic of late. Rick Scott, and, you know, you only post this kind of garbage let's put it this way. This, what he did for a decidedly targeted audience. And I'm trying to find. I'd rather just post the video. And I don't really... Okay, we'll just do it as a reader. How's that? Because there's another dandy little piece of video we need to get to. But no, Rick Scott put a video up on Twitter saying, and this is not satire, Dan Patrick, thank you, Ralph, serving as the Texas Lieutenant Governor who shares the same name with an ESPN host, Ad Hoc Research Department. Dan Patrick, thank you. Rick Scott said, unironically,
if you're a communist or a socialist, I would think twice if you're thinking about taking a vacation or moving to Florida. Floridians know that communism is not good for anybody. We like freedom, liberty, capitalism, things like that.
There's no comma between freedom and liberty.
We like freedom, liberty.
Sit, liberty, sit.
Woo!
Because, you know, America's under a communist onslaught. Communist, communist, socialist, fascist, Nazis. Because, you know, Nazism was socialism. They've been barking that insanity since way before Nitwit Nero. And he got roasted pretty good because, well, Rick Scott, in addition to being a... In addition to being the author of the single greatest case of Medicare fraud in the history of the United States and somehow dodging his way out of it and actually becoming the governor of the state of Florida and eventually senator thereof, well, Rick Scott knows that his political life depends on stupid people continuing to vote for him. In New York, Steve says, Florida vacation. What if I'm a fascist? Then Florida is the place for you, Steve. And if you're a fascist who especially hates the LGBTQ community, they're really going to love you. Randy Radar, meanwhile, says, I like freedom, liberty, patriot, bald eagle. And you'd be a commie if you didn't. Right? Well, Brian Kloss, an associate professor in global politics at University College in London, responded to Rick Scott's "Don't bring your communism to Florida" threat. These people are clowns. Every aspect of modern Republican politics is geared toward performative pandering to the extremist base. The idea that a senior U.S. politician would take the time to record a video telling communists not to vacation in Florida is just absurd. Of course, I guess in Rick Scott's world, everybody who goes to Disney now is a commie. Then there's the guy who created The Wire, one of the best TV shows ever produced, David Simon. Well, he sent a warning to Rick Scott, telling him to, hi Bob, stay the hell out of Ballmer. I'm warning you not to set foot in Ballmer, where when we get the scent of a submoronic demagogue, we cease all intramural violence and converge in socialist frenzy on the fucker, capture him, and then sell him off in parts to pay for our crack vials and Utz crab chips. I, by God, have had Utz brand crab chips. There's nothing like them.
I love them.
Ferg loves them. Are they yummy? Do you wish we could get them here?
You can.
You can?
Yes, over at your local Sheetz.
Sheetz has crab chips?
Yes, now hiring for crew members at $14.37 an hour and supervisors at $16.23 an hour, and you can earn an extra dollar overnight.
That is an oddly specific level of knowledge, my son.
That's what I got.
That's what I got. Utz crab chips are fantastic. Especially with some good onion dip. Basically, it's potato chips with Old Bay, but God, that's funny. Capture him and then sell him off in parts to pay for our crack vials and Utz crab chips. Maybe. Maybe Rick Scott will use the new Supreme Court decision to say, he's a-stalking me! Shannon Watts is the public face of Moms Demand, the common sense gun reform organization. She said, Florida is the second highest state in the nation with the most welfare recipients, including SNAP, TANF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and Medicaid, and the second highest number of Social Security beneficiaries. The point being that there. And of course, Rick Scott has to know this because he ripped the hell off of Medicare. He sure liked him some socialism then, didn't he? Well, you know. Socialism for the needs of the wealthy, brutal capitalism for the rest of us. See how it works? Of course. Well, forget it, Jake. It's Florida. We are well past the halfway point of the program. If you would like to engage in any conversation, this is in fact conversation radio. And you're welcome to chime in via Skype. The account is Robin Robyn Kincaid Horn KincaidHorn. And I need to order up a phone number, and remind me to do that. The days are just packed. You can also reach the program via the stress line, 844-843-4676. That's 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, you know, you can use the email contact form at headon.live if you feel more like writing than and communicating that way, lots of people do. And for instance, Randy Radar. I've been through urban Baltimore. Bad scene. Put your car in drive and keep on going. Which is kind of what David Simon was alluding to. Well, what else and where else? Well, we do have the Green News Report. And I hate it when I miss that. The Washington Post, because this bears mention, because it is of great import. The Washington Post is reporting that the shitbird president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, is now... Okay, Billable Rick has issued a cowbell for I Like Liberty, Freedom, Bald Eagle. Man, woman, camera, TV. Liberty, freedom, bald eagle. There you go. There you go. Thanks for the award. I'm sure Randy Radar will appreciate it, Billable. And by the way, Jeff Tiedrich, who is one of the funniest wiseacres on Twitter, on social media generally, over on Substack, Tiedrich said, "Holy shit, Donald Trump is so fucking fucked." An annotated guide to Trump confessing to crimes. It's game over, folks. Last night, CNN got their hands on the audio tape we've all been talking about, Donald Trump waving stolen classified war plans in the faces of two astonished visitors to his shabby, bedbug-ridden New Jersey golf motel. Let's listen, shall we, to that audio, and then we'll get back to Alexander Lukashenko and the high opinion he holds of himself. No, not that. That. Here we go. Thank you, Ralphs. This is going to be fun. And running. This is the CNN clip from Anderson Cooper.
These are bad, sick people.
That was your coup, you know, against you. That's
well, it started right at the
like
beginning.
When Millie's talking about, oh, you were going to try to do a coup. No, they were trying to do that before you even were sworn in.
That's right.
Trying to overthrow your election.
Well, with Millie, let me see that. I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran.
You hear the papers?
Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look. This was him. They presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this. This was him. This was the
This is off the record. They presented me this. And by the way, the woman's voice is a staffer of his talking to him. And Jeff Tiedrich said, the conversation starts off normally enough, with Trump apparently whining about his bad, sick enemies. Oh, my God, can you imagine having to sit there and listen to this corroded old douchebag bitch and moan? And says, okay, wait just 1 minute. Think about this. Trump is sitting at his desk talking to two randos, and the whole time the stolen classified war plans are sitting right there in the open where any passing dipshit can see them?
I have a big pile of papers.
Stolen papers, jackass!
This thing just came up, look.
And, by the way, did you notice the sound of the paper shuffling? That didn't sound like newsprint. Newsprint has its own sound when it is being, for lack of a better term, shuffled. Off the record, you're being recorded, moron!
But they presented me this. This was him. This was the Defense Department and him.
Good fucking God, does this guy ever do anything besides complain? And it continues.
Defense Department and him. Wow. We looked at some. This was him. This wasn't done by me. This was him. All sorts of stuff. It's pages long.
Look.
Wait a minute. Let's see here.
Yeah.
I just found. Isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know.
Oh my. That's Khan saying, I've got you now, Captain Kirk. And the tittering staffers who are as yet unidentified. Totally wins what case, you rotting old gas bag? Mm-hmm. Except, and this is the important part.
Mm-hmm. Except it is like highly confidential, yeah. Secret. This is secret information. Look at this. You attack, and
Hillary would print that out all the time, you know.
She'd send it, email. No, she'd send it to Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
The pervert.
Please print.
Jeff Tiedrich writes, Hillary? What the fuck? And I want to know who the laughing staffers were, because they probably have some criminal liability, too, at this point. Tiedrich said, Hillary, what the fuck does the email lady have to do with this? You people are so fucking obsessed.
She'd send it to Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Ha 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 ha. Someone's going to prison. And then, you know, this is a guy who would go on to be busted by a jury, tried and true, for sexually abusing a woman in a dressing room at Bloomingdale's. So this.
By the way, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
I was just saying, because we were talking about it. And you know, he said he wanted to attack Iran and what?
He said the papers.
This
jackass
was done by the military, given to me. I think we can probably, right?
We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to
declassify.
Figure out a.
See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, you know, but this is classified.
Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, it's so. Here and I have. And you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
No, I believe you.
It's incredible, right?
No.
Hey, bring some cokes in, please.
I'm joined now by CNN.
Bring some cokes in, please. Diet Cokes. None of that Coke Zero shit. That tastes too much like real Coca-Cola. I want the shitty Diet Coke.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
She'd send it to Anthony Weiner. Yeah, the pervert.
Him calling anyone a pervert. Excuse me? Pardon me? Pervert? Tiedrich asking, why the fuck do you keep war plans on your desk? Why is this national security risk carrying stolen war plans all the way from his shitty Florida golf motel up to his equally shitty New Jersey golf motel and wife cemetery and leaving them out on his desk for any passing doofus to see? For what purpose? But the operative moment is when he said,
you know, when I was president, I could have declassified it.
Yeah.
Now I can't, you know.
And Tiedrich points out that, by the way, there's a complex legal term that lawyers and prosecutors use for a statement like this. It's called a fucking confession.
Now we have a problem.
The problem's called staying out of prison.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, it's so, her and I, and you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
He's setting up a... I think he's setting up an insanity plea or something. Like I said, by the time his trial comes around, he'll come in a wheelchair with a plaid blanket over his lap and...
I can't remember what I don't recall if I had a recollection of.
Going back to Rick Scott with his communism blather, Clarence says, Robin, this is history repeating itself. The communist and socialist name-calling was used to harass Dr. King and other activists during the civil rights movement. The coded talk is alive and well. Fortunately, we know the code. And you just heard Jeff Tiedrich's remarks on the recording. Ralphs, in order to prevent us from having a goose egg, which we are well on the way to, with a $1,500 hole in the budget, is offering up a $25 challenge for Jeff Tiedrich and his latest Substack. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. And so that could get us down to $14.50, which would be great. Goose eggs are very rough at any time of the month, but especially on a day like today when we have zero subscribers. Thank you, Ralphs. And going back to Peabody Energy and the coal mine, Ken up in Northwest PA says, clean coal, you taught us it's a dirty lie. It is a dirty lie. And Jimmy, subject line Florida, I've been hearing the NAACP has recommended whether you're black, white, purple, or green, don't visit or move to Florida. Is that true? Just asking for a friend. Who'd want to move there anyway? You could not pay me to live in Florida. And I love warm, sunny weather. Makes me sad. It's especially dangerous for people like me in Florida right now. A lot of denial, though, because there, in the little forums for people like me that I visit, there are stickies all over the place. Don't go to Florida. You won't be safe. They can leave you dying on the pavement if some right-wing religious nut job of an EMT or a nurse or a doctor says, my conscience prevents me from treating this tranny. I shouldn't use that slur. I apologize. But that's what their law says. But yes, Jimmy, you're absolutely correct. The NAACP, the Human Rights Campaign, a Hispanic organization have all issued travel warnings. Stay out of Florida. It is, in fact, true, Jimmy. And it's almost unheard of. Who'd want to move there anyway? Well, snowbirds, Jimmy. Snowbirds. Lots of hillbillies move when they finally get sick of the... They finally reach the breaking point regarding winter. They bug out of here. And they move either to South Carolina, Stan, or Florida. My bug-out plan is New Mexico. If it comes to that, and I hope it doesn't. Because I don't know, I don't know how I would pay rent. The one thing that's made this program possible over the years is the fact that there's no mortgage here. In a country where rent is now, you know, well, certain places in California where you can't rent a cardboard box that a refrigerator came in and put it over a sewer grate for less than $2,000 or $3,000. Well, it's prohibitive, and thus far there are no refugee programs. There are legal refuge programs, but no actual refugee programs to house people. Pervert, in regard to the clip from Nitwit Nero. Pervert, Lee asks, did Anthony Weiner get accused of grabbing women, going into dressing rooms, sexually assaulting women in dressing rooms? No. Pervert. Said
the predator.
But back to Alexander Lukashenko. No, you know what? Let's do Alexander Lukashenko after the Green News Report. Because I hate to miss the Green News Report. Stand by. Let's see what Brad and Desi have for us. I wonder if they've got the tornado striking the Wyoming coal mine. Oh, thank you, Clarence. Clarence just jumped in and met Ralph's challenge. Thank you so much. We're down to 1450. So thank you. If that started a little flurry of fundraising, that would be wonderful. Okay, Brad and Desi, take it away.
It's Tuesday, June 27, 2023.
Please do what you can to conserve energy. Conservation helps the grid.
Extreme heat and deadly storms spread across much of the U.S.
The rail company says that so far no environmental impact has been detected.
Train carrying hazardous chemicals derails into Montana's Yellowstone River. Plus,
in a lot of spaces now, in many industries, you compete and you partner.
More EV car makers adopt Tesla's fast charging standard.
Trust Elon Musk? Why not? All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley has a new plan to make the U.S. energy independent.
We would stop controlling where they produce or how much they produce and get the EPA out of the way. We would roll back the green subsidies that have been put in place.
Okay, no thanks. This is your Green News Report. All right, Desi Doyen over in the GOP primary for 2024. They are already competing about who can destroy the environment more.
Yep.
Going to be a fun year. What do you got for us today?
Well, first of all, as we go to air, the persistent, brutal heat wave walloping Texas is entering its third week, and forecasters say it is expanding to other states, affecting two-thirds of Americans, generating deadly storms and tornadoes, widespread power outages, and canceled flights from Arizona to New England.
What happens in Texas doesn't stay in Texas.
No. The Texas electric grid has so far mostly held up in the historic heat, but its biggest failures so far this summer have come from fossil-fueled power plants that overheat and break down.
Hmm.
But large-scale batteries are still quietly keeping the lights on during the unplanned outages. Several deaths have been attributed to the heat, including a postal worker and a grid lineman. Late last week, Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed a law effectively prohibiting local ordinances that mandate water and shade breaks for outdoor workers.
How thoughtful.
And yes, this is man-made global warming. Numerous studies show that summers have gotten hotter in the U.S. and are becoming deadlier as climate change drives more extreme weather events. Climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann on CNN explained that worse extreme weather events can be avoided if governments cut emissions quickly.
The planet will continue to warm up and the oceans will continue to get hotter and hotter until we stop putting carbon pollution into the atmosphere. We're getting perilously close to that danger threshold, but we can still avoid crossing it if we can bring our carbon emissions down dramatically within the next 10 years or so.
The most optimistic climatologist on the planet.
In other big news, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the Navajo Nation in a long-running suit over water from the dwindling Colorado River. In a 5-4 ruling, the right-wing court majority dismissed the tribe's lawsuit, ruling that even though the federal government confined the tribe to a reservation in the Arizona desert in the 1800s, it is not legally required to take any steps to ensure the tribe has an adequate water supply.
How thoughtful.
It's a victory for Western states that said a ruling for the tribe would disrupt existing Colorado River agreements. Justice Neil Gorsuch, who often sides with tribes in legal disputes, joined with the court's liberal justices in dissent. Legal experts say the tribe does have potential options in other water rights litigation. In Montana, cleanup is underway on the Yellowstone River after a railroad bridge collapsed over the weekend, sending multiple rail cars tumbling into the water, where they ruptured and spilled hazardous molten sulfur, asphalt, and sodium hydrogen sulfate into the river. The cause of the accident is under investigation. Officials say so far, air and water testing have not shown any threat to the public, but towns have shut down drinking water intakes downstream of the spill. In Oregon, Multnomah County has filed suit against 17 major oil companies alleging that pollution from fossil fuels contributed to the historic 2021 heat wave that killed 69 people in the state.
Go get them.
Some good news. Electric vehicle startup Rivian announced it will join GM and Ford in adopting Tesla's North American charging standard, which will give its car owners access to Tesla's expansive fast charging network in the U.S. and Canada. The move puts Tesla on its way to making its standard dominant as EV adoption grows. Prospective buyers get reassurance that charging will be available, and Tesla gets the charging revenue and the ability to access federal infrastructure financing. Finally, great news, the Financial Times reports that for the first time in history, global spending on solar energy production will outpace spending on oil production this year. $370 billion investment in oil, $380 billion investment in solar, with China investing more than the rest of the world combined in solar manufacturing.
Well, most of that is good news. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Twitters, and Mastodons at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
My apologies for the dead air. A person from Porlock arrived. And had to find out who was out in the yard. Because, you know, that's a thing that just happens. People just show up. And we just try to make sure that everybody's okay and safe. And so that's what that was. And I apologize. I do. Thanks again, Ralphs, and thanks, Clarence, for keeping this from being a goose egg. It means a lot. It really does mean a lot. Okay, back to Alexander Lukashenko. Belarusian strongman. He claims, and he brokered the deal whereby Evgeny Prigozhin went into exile in Belarus, you know, Minsk. Lee Harvey Oswald, when he defected to the Soviet Union, he had a job in a radio factory in, of all places, Minsk. Well, Lukashenko tried to talk Prigozhin into stopping his march on Moscow. And said that Prigozhin was half-crazed and just raved in a string of obscenities for a half hour. And the shrieking and grunting and barking was, according to Lukashenko, ten times more than normal. But now Lukashenko is trying to, I guess, up his standing in terms of the eyes of the world, and says it was I, Alexander Lukashenko, who convinced Vladimir Putin not to have Evgeny Prigozhin killed on the spot. Yeah, okay. And so we all know now that Prigozhin turned his forces around from their march on Moscow. Some of them have gone into exile in Belarus with their boss. The rest of them have been told they can either join the Russian military or you can go home. Just go home. Remember, most of these mercenary dogs were pulled, the worst of the worst of Russian the Russian criminal element, and they were pulled out of Russian prisons. And Prigozhin is confirmed to be in he's in Belarus, and kind of wondering how it is that Alexander Lukashenko feels better having someone, a bloodthirsty fascist like Evgeny Prigozhin in his country instead of Vlad's. Could it be that Alexander Lukashenko is thinking he might like to have maybe Prigozhin's help in going in and doing what Rick Wilson said at the beginning of the program and unaliving Big Bad Vladdy Daddy by 2024? Because remember, he's been the strongman of Belarus since 1994. And the elections that make him president are just great big fraud festivals. His record on civil, human, and political rights is a nightmare. He said, for instance, kissing up to his daddy, Vladdy, he said that the reports of Alexei Navalny being poisoned were Those are false. Those are not true. They were falsified by Poland and Germany. Things are not okay there. And with the rise of fascism, we had a story about that in Poland a couple of weeks ago. The story from yesterday's program about the rise of fascism in Germany. Well, it's not just the United States that has a Nazi problem. And so it was. But so eventually Lukashenko learned that Putin. And it came to Lukashenko's attention because the Belarusian KGB, the KGB, and the Federal Security Service in Russia were talking. And, it came to Lukashenko's attention that Putin wanted to have a little talk. And so they talked there in the morning, and Lukashenko said that he realized Putin was planning puff action. And they you need to wait until I, Alexander Lukashenko, talk to Evgeny Prigozhin about his Wagner forces. The most dangerous thing, as I understood it, was not what the situation was, but how it could develop and its consequences. I suggested that Putin take his time. But Putin said, listen. Sasha, because Putin calls Alexander Lukashenko Sasha. Yes, Daddy?
There's no point. He doesn't even pick up phone. He doesn't want to talk to anyone.
And Lukashenko, this is all by his own account, said, "Bad peace is better than any war. Do not rush. I will try to contact him." Sasha is useless. I say, okay, wait. Do you see why all of this is necessary? Because Putin hasn't been seen in ages.
He's enjoying his man of people, enjoying life at his dacha.
Wonder if Sasha's in the dacha. Huh? And then Lukashenko tried to cheer up poor Vladdy Daddy. Vladdy said,
"War in Ukraine is going better than before." So I say, you see, not everything is so sad.
So Lukashenko, Lukashenko is playing his own game. For Alexander Lukashenko's benefit. Now, might be nice to loop back a little closer to home here. Talk a little bit about Daniel Cameron. Daniel Cameron is the Attorney General of Kentucky Stan, and he is
like a son. You know, well, I mean, not like a son, because, I mean, I'm Mitch McConnell, and Elaine is Elaine, and, I mean, he's, but he's like a son to us, a son who, well, you know.
Yeah, this is the guy who refused to seriously prosecute the dirty cops who murdered Breonna Gray. And it turns out he's dirty in other ways, too. In fact, he directly asked for donations because he's running for governor in 24. He directly asked for donations from the executives of a rehab organization that treats drug addicts in Kentucky Stan. The only problem is his office in the previous year began investigating that very organization. Edgewater Recovery Centers. The lawyer for Edgewood, Michael Denbo, detailed it all to the Associated Press. And after Daniel Cameron shook them down, one of his campaign cronies followed up on the shakedown. And then, lo and behold, several executives from Edgewater Recovery Centers made $7,600 contributions. Or a $7,600 contribution to Daniel Cameron.
He's just like a son to me.
To his campaign. The campaign later on said, "Oh, yeah, but we gave it back." And so Governor Andy Beshear, a Democrat of Kentucky, the incumbent, is calling for an investigation, but how do you get the Attorney General to investigate himself? Oh, that's some catch, that catch 22. It's the best there is. Daniel Cameron, meanwhile, has recused himself from investigating Edgewater a couple of months back, or a month back, because that's when he learned about the campaign contributions that he actually solicited. Edgewater, meanwhile, says, we ain't done nothing wrong. Addiction recovery is a big business, especially in Appalachia. It's predictable, but and certainly far from unthinkable. And confirming something that Steve in New York said earlier, yeah, the Midwest, for instance, Chicago, is being covered in wildfire ash, hello climate change, hello again, from Canadian fires. This afternoon in Chicago, the AQI, the Air Quality Index, climbed to 250. Anything over 100 is bad for groups that might have any sort of breathing problem at all. So let's see, the South is baking. Wyoming coal mines are getting hit by a tornado, and wildfire smoke is choking Chicago. That 250 AQI qualifies Chicago as very unhealthy. The news article that I'm looking at from ABC News includes, of course, a photograph of children out playing on a Lake Michigan beach, Montrose Beach. In the filth. I mean, Chicago looks a lot like Beijing right now. Chicago's Mayor Brandon Johnson said, we recommend children, teens, seniors, people with heart or lung disease, and individuals who are pregnant avoid strenuous activities and limit their time outdoors. For additional precautions, all Chicagoans may also consider wearing masks, not masks. Communism! Jesus won't be able to see their faces! Limiting their outdoor exposure, moving activities indoors, running air purifiers, and closing windows. But as bad as Tuesday was in Chicago, it was ever so much worse in a place I genuinely love. Wisconsin. The DNR in Wisconsin issued a statewide air quality advisory today that stays in effect until Thursday and can be extended. Milwaukee got to a very unhealthy AQI today. The most significant air quality and health impacts are anticipated between noon on Tuesday, 627, and noon on Wednesday, 628. According to the Wisconsin DNR. This is a dynamic situation, and conditions may change rapidly over the next few days. It is important to pay close attention to the air quality in your area and take action, especially if you don't feel well. Ralphs, I'm so glad you're in New Jersey now, hon. By this evening, the densest smoke, good God, will have extended to Springfield, Illinois, Peoria, Illinois, Louisville, Kentucky, Roanoke, Virginia, nasty in Charleston. We're getting it. And by tomorrow morning, Wednesday, the smoky haze will be visible from Iowa to North Carolina. Strongest in places like Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and St. Louis, Missouri. Please act accordingly. I mean, this is going to extend all the way to Raleigh. I read stories like this and I get a little pissed off. It didn't have to be this way. We were told in the 70s what was coming for us. A whole bunch of people who weren't even born then would not be having to be dealing with this had we acted out of anything other than capitalist concern. And, yeah, Ralph said, I am too, but it might come to New Jersey. I know, because the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, said that air quality may be worse in Gotham on Wednesday. The governor of the whole state of New York, Kathy Hochul, said air quality health advisories are in place for a number of areas of upstate New York. And what ABC News describes as a milky sky is still expected from Michigan to Georgia, and those with asthma and other respiratory issues may still have difficulty breathing. It is expected all to clear on Friday when showers and thunderstorms arrive in the area. And by the way, that very unhealthy AQI index, at very unhealthy level, after 300, after the 300 ppm, I think it's ppm, the next stage is maroon, which means hazardous. Eventually, as climate change progresses, they'll have to add another color, and that will be deadly. Might be good to have some fresh masks around. Just saying. Going back to Rick Scott, Kevin in Western Mass says, so Rick Scott said today, if you're communist or socialist, don't come to Florida. Translation, basically, if you're liberal, you're not wanted. Saw the video of him on Twitter today. Wonder if he'd welcome real live, no kidding, Nazis. Of course he would. That's the maggot base, Kevin. I mean, come on. Yeah. And so we are down below $1,400 now for the fundraising goal. Thank you, Jude. Jude says, my heart has led to Our Lady B, pondering on how she is and the focus she walks with. Be well, all. Thank you, Jude. You as well. Yeah, I thought of Lady B yesterday when we did the story about, I talked about the story, we.
I'm the Queen of England.
She's dead, Jim. Now, when I shared the story about the sentencing of the guy who perpetrated the slaughter at Club Q there in Colorado Springs. We mentioned the Faith and Freedom Conference of last weekend. And I had the clip in yesterday's program of Chris Christie getting booed by the maggots. Well, Nitwit Nero was there, too. I swear, every one of these moments makes me think, well, what I said earlier, they'll wind up wheeling him into the courtroom in a wheelchair with a blankie over his lap and him presumably pretending to be non compos mentis, although it does run in the family, and he may already be well on the way. Only he can fix us. He was promising to stop World War III.
I will stop World War III. Only I can do it.
And then proceeded to moan like a porn video. Wow, chicka, wow, wow. In front of a bunch of self-identifying Christians. Once again. And the Christians were just laughing and tittering and giggling because their real God was grunting and moaning, maybe like he did when he was, well, committing rape in Bloomingdale's. People said, oof. That man's repulsive. Another one said, yeah, he's an idiot. One more said, no way this is real. Yeah, that was real. This man got 5,678 charges against him, and he's still trying to be president again. He said, among other things, like I said,
I will stop World War III, and believe me, we're very close to having World War III. I will settle the war between Russia and Ukraine in 24 hours after becoming president.
You know, he might do it. Because if he withdrew the United States' support of Ukraine, Ukraine would fall to the fascist invasion.
The 2024 election is our one shot to save our country. And we need a leader who is ready to do that on day one.
Now is at the South Carolina State House.
We need a president who can take on the whole system and a president who can win.
He's down at least 6 points in head-to-head comparisons with President Biden. Although I try to avoid the horse race reporting. Then, repeating his stump speech elsewhere, he said,
through weakness and incompetence, Joe Biden has brought us to the brink of World War III. We're at the brink of World War III, just in case anybody doesn't know it. As president, I will bring back peace through strength.
And in the same event at the Faith and Freedom Coalition,
I'm being indicted for you. This is a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time. They want to interfere with the upcoming election. They want to demean, insult, whatever's necessary to win,
said a guy whose only strategy is demeaning and insulting.
They want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom.
Well, you know, if the maggots don't run around stealing classified documents, I'd say they got nothing to worry about. I mean, unless they participated in a terrorist attack on the seat of constitutional governance in the United States. Y'all, they want to do it again.
They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. In the end, they're not after me. They're after you. And I just happen to be standing in their way.
Lee in New York said, Nitwit Nero groaning in pain. That sounds like the pain Stormy Daniels went through. And then they had sex. And there he was, a-rutting on my Mayella. Ralph's pointing out, he was pretending to lift weights. Well, that may be what he was pretending to do, but it still sounded like something from a bad 70s porn movie. Ken in Northwest PA said, other than my bong hits, it was smoky here today. I'll just take this upon myself and award the cowbell for other than my bong hits. And Darlene in Connecticut said, sounds like Trump's taking a dump. It's a Trump dump. Thank you, Darlene. There went Billable Rick's snack, and there went dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. And whatever time it is in Arizona, because I realize there's Arizona and Indiana have time zone problems. Oh, don't you start, Robin. And because, well, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, here we go again. You may recall that Susan Lawrence, blew away a black woman. This, of course, happened in Florida, Marion County, Florida. She murdered a GK A.J. Owens because A.J. Owens knocked on her door several times. Because Susan Lawrence had gone out and thrown a fit because children were playing outside. Get off my lawn! And snatched an iPad away from her kid. Well, the state of Florida has declared that, nah, there's insufficient evidence for a murder charge against a woman who deliberately shot and killed a mom. Now, she wasn't pregnant, so she didn't matter in Florida, right? Now, before she murdered A.J. Owens, Susan Lawrence, she had a propensity for using some particularly vituperative racial slurs. And A.J. Owens' little boys saw their mama gunned down. But there's insufficient evidence to support a murder charge, according to some dude in law enforcement in Florida. Instead, she's going to be charged with one count of manslaughter with a firearm and one count of assault. That was the word from Bill Gladson, the state attorney. Betcha I know how he votes. And, of course, Susan Lawrence will then follow up by asserting Florida's Stand Your Ground law. Bill Gladson, the state attorney, said, we carefully examined the viability of both second-degree murder and manslaughter with a firearm, both first-degree felonies. And as deplorable as the white defendant's actions were... No, he didn't say white, did he? No. As deplorable as the defendant's actions were in this case,
There is insufficient evidence to prove this specific and required element of second-degree murder, that is, a depraved mind.
Because apparently in Florida, screaming racial epithets and threats at black and brown children doesn't display a depraved mind. Anybody want to help with that?
Well, some may not agree with that decision. I can assure you the decision was thoughtful and made without consideration of any other factors other than the specific facts of this terrible crime committed by the white lady that we don't want to run the risk of having to execute.
Oh, I added that last part. Because Susan Lawrence now said, well, I was frightened for my own life.
Yeah, I had called the little but I was scared for my life, so I had to shoot the black woman.
And yes, Jimmy, in the great Northwest, the NAACP has said, stay the hell out of Florida. The next step will be to tell everybody who isn't white, cisgender, heterosexual, and Christian to get the fuck out of Florida. Because it is a bad place. A bad, bad place. Thanks for the beautiful photo of the rose, Jude. I will look at it in greater detail when I'm off air so that I can see what you see. Meanwhile, oh, wait, no, let's go to the phones. I'm about to screw up. Let's go to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Robin.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
Thanks, Ken. Okay, pursuant to what you were just talking about, happenstance made me knock on somebody's door at 2:30 in the morning, and I'm glad I wasn't shot.
In the here and now America, you are fortunate
yeah.
that you were not shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, look, it was, not something I was proud of during my Coke days. And, I knocked on somebody's door, and when he answered it, it was not happy. But at least he didn't shoot me. And it's really creepy. Wow. I mean, I wasn't going to answer the door personally. But then again, if somebody was, put their pound on the door and they need help, then I would help them. But doesn't that scare the shit out of the people that would want to help? And that's the point of fascism.
It's to make people keep their heads down, not participate in governance. The only people that fascists want participating in government are other fascists.
Yeah. For sure. I spent a lot of time with my friend. He lives in the outer skirts of town, and there's so much racist and hatred stuff. I don't really get involved in it, but it's pretty damn creepy. Even if they don't even watch the news, they're getting this crap. They're getting fed, they're getting a boost for being like an asshole. I don't know what to say. It's scary as hell, Robin. And shit, I'm a cisgendered freaking guy. I can't imagine what it's like for you.
I try to be situationally aware. I try to be situationally aware, and I try not, and beyond right. that, I try not to just camp out on it.
Yeah. Well, there's people that are like that, was sort of like, and I thought my friends were better, but, they're not. So, I guess the upside is we have friends here at the Horn and contribute to keep you on the air. This is our problem. I thought this was a blue state, but boy, it's pretty tenuous.
Upstate New York has, well, there are pockets of upstate New York that are similar to the old saying about, you know, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's Pittsburgh in the west and Philly in the east and Alabama in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it's reached up, well, because we were gerrymandered, when we got one Congress critter, actually he was involved in the January 6th thing. I really hope to God that they find this fucking creep because he doesn't represent me. inherited wealth, the car dealership, which there's a whole other story on car dealerships. Not sure if Stan did it or John Oliver did something like that, but. Yeah, there's this whole right-wing conspiracy. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. I don't even remember what the hell I'm talking about. I sound like a moron. I'm sorry about
that. No, you don't. Stop that.
Forget. I know. I get, I start thinking about one thing and I'm thinking about another and I like scatterbrain. I'm a little a spaz hat. But anyway, oh my gosh, how they gerrymandered this district, they split Erie in half. So they basically took all the liberals out of the equation. I can't see how that wasn't possibly is what they wanted to happen. But the court, the Supreme Leader, Catholic leaders, I guess that reason does exist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. I'm glad, Robin. Like, I'm so happy that racism doesn't exist anymore. Except the every day.
Right.
Yeah, I wanted to be funny. I really did.
I know. Your tongue was firmly planted in your cheek. I know.
And, yeah, nothing's funny about what we're going through.
No.
So,
there's some insane and some stupid that occasionally provides a giggle.
Right, I would see some stupid in my own circle of so-called friends. And you learn to keep your mouth shut when you know you're outnumbered. So I'm kind of experiencing what you go through on a normal day in West Virginia.
Well, It's really not so bad here. I've been very fortunate, but I also recognize just how bad things can get. And I'm trying to put whatever will be in next year's legislative session out of my mind and give myself a little peace, a little bit of grace for a while. But that's far from guaranteed.
I certainly don't want that bug out and that. Oh, man. Leave your family behind. What the hell? That's sad, bro. It makes me really sad.
Oh, don't be. Please try not to be.
Proud American,
if you want to be anything, Ken, be angry.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely that. I got that one covered. And I'm laughing at it, but I'm angry. Believe me. That's what kind of motivates me. I'm angry about all this stuff. Stupid crap.
I understand. Well, listen, Ken, you have a good evening, my friend. I'm going to wrap the program up.
All right.
And,
all right. Peace, Robin. Love the family and the family.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Hi, buddy, Ken, Northwest PA. I just saw a message from our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor. And it's current, as in, right now. Up in Ann Arbor, she says, it's bad here, like standing next to a smoky grill. Her AQI index, her AQI, air quality index, is 278, measuring PM2.5. Those are very close to ultrafine particulates, and if you're listening to this program, you know how deadly ultrafines are. Joy, wear your mask. Stay inside. On the other hand, maggots, don't wear your masks. Because, that takes away your freedom and liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. Woof! A couple of other stories on the way out the door. As we have noted on a number of occasions, former Auburn University football coach Tommy Potato Town Tuberville is actively engaged in the ongoing competition for stupidest person in the United States Senate. He's got Ron Johnson to contend with, and he's also got Marsha, goodness, XXX Blackburn to deal with. But this is pretty stupid. He tweeted celebrating Alabama getting $1.4 billion to improve broadband access for Alabamians. Of course, they won't do that. They'll just steal the money. Nonetheless, Coach Tommy the Tuber, and that's what he calls himself on Twitter, Coach Tommy Tuberville, not Senator Tommy Tuberville, Coach. Broadband is vital for the success of our rural communities and for our entire economy. Great to see Alabama receive crucial funds to boost ongoing broadband efforts. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, taxpayers of California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, Minnesota, New York, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Michigan. Thank you. Alabama greatly appreciates it because Alabama is a Well, they're a welfare state. There's only one little hitch with this. The only reason that Alabama got the $1.4 billion to boost ongoing broadband efforts is because of, well, damn it, that Joe Biden. Because it was Joe Biden's infrastructure bill in 2021 that he busted his ass on that made that money available. There's only one more problem. Tommy the Tuber voted against that bill. And I hope the messaging team at the White House absolutely savages Tommy the Tuber for the titanic right-wing intellect that he is. And Tommy's not been making even some of his maggot colleagues real happy. Mitch McConnell is apparently pissed at him because Tommy is holding up some generals and admirals from being promoted, which in turn makes those members of the military brass right unhappy with, you know, Republicans, who used to be the party that said, oh, we got to support the troops, and never saw Pentagon pork that they didn't love. But Tommy is afraid that the United States military, the greatest military in the history of the world on earth now today in the universe forever under God, amen, is done gone too woke and using the pronouns and whatnot. Oh, well, he's a moron. He's a titanic intellect. And one last thing, and thank you, by the way, to Jude and to Ralphs and to Clarence for keeping this from being a goose egg. Thank you. One last thing. Ralphs sent this along to me. You kind of saw this coming, didn't you? Walt Nauta, Nitwit Nero's indicted co-conspirator. Walt Nauta doesn't have a lawyer again. Now, Nitwit Nero promised him a defense, kind of just like he promised all those people in that restaurant, I'm definitely buying you lunch. No one here pays, just me. Well, he was supposed to have been arraigned today in federal court, but the magistrate judge continued the case into July. It's the second continuance of the arraignment because, well, he couldn't strike a deal with his pettifogger over legal fees. The report in The Guardian says, the reason for the rate hike was not clear, but at least one Florida lawyer who had seriously considered representing Nauta decided several days ago that the reputational and legal risks of working with Trump's co-defendant in the documents case were too great. What's that boil down to? Listen, Bob, I'll represent you, but you're going to have to, my legal fee for representing you is going to be everything I might possibly make from now until the end of my career, because when I represent you and work alongside your boss and your buddy, my career, my legal reputation is going to be shit. Oh, well. And so that's the program. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal contributors. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. I just had a little rainstorm and Annette just opened the door and it smells so good outside. Doesn't it smell good? She, little pixie that she is, she just tiptoed out of the studio. If I hadn't mentioned her name, you wouldn't even have known she was here. But thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to Ralphs, and thank you to Jude, and thank you to Clarence for keeping this from being a goose egg, like I said. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Roger so very much in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, like and subscribe, please, to the podcast. Follow it, like it, subscribe to it, whatever terminology they use. If you're listening on TuneIn Radio, hit that little heart button. We're still trying to get to 1,000 whole TuneIn listeners. You know, for a little bitty program like this, the fact that we've got over, we're on our way to 1 million downloads at Podbean alone. That's not counting White Rose Society over the years. That's a lot. And y'all make it all happen. And I can never thank you enough. Leave a comment for the algorithms, please. Share the podcast on your social media. That really helps. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Right there at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, a proud union shop, and, well, struggling a little bit to get the AIC Act introduced, but we still hope. Please stay safe. If you're in the smoke, for God's sakes, wear your mask. Get your COVID booster when and if you can. Don't just wear your mask in the smoke. Wear your mask around the maggots. Because God alone knows what kind of viruses they're spewing. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Keep your social distance. And if the head maggot comes towards you on the sidewalk, literally grunting and moaning, I'll avoid him like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.